Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the Selection Sunday Special, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. Local flavor covering the big dance. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Head of the company, Chad Boger, is running around like a crazy man working on stuff while he's here to make sure we have all the best stuff. By the way, our Selection Sunday Special is brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Shawnee Mission Ford, and Kansas City Asphalt. So we'll be rocking it till 8 o'clock tonight. Just to kind of recap the Big 12 teams of local interest here. And I just, let's see, I was highlighting stuff to make sure I didn't forget. So for the local teams, Kansas is in the Midwest. They get the 4 seed. They'll take on the 13 seed from Northwestern. Also in the Midwest, Iowa State as a 6 seed takes the 11 seed Ohio State. And that is in the Midwest. In the South region, that's where we find K-State. They get the 4 seed, and they'll take on the 13 seed from UC Irvine. That game's in San Jose, so for UC Irvine, it's going to be in their backyard. If you're a K-State fan going to San Jose, it's a good trip. I know it's a long way, but you'll have fun. Oklahoma gets in as a 9 seed. They'll take on the 8 seed Ole Miss. That's also in the South region. Baylor gets in as a 9 seed. They'll take on the 8 seed from Syracuse, Seren Petro's team. And Texas Tech is in the West as well. They get the 3 seed, and they'll take on the 4 seed from Northern Kentucky. Of the last 4 out, TCU was in the last 4 out. Chris Bolig is not happy that I keep repeating that, but they didn't get in. They were in the last 4 out. All right, we're going to check in now with the head of the selection committee. And let me just ask Chris real quick, was this his appearance on CBS or ESPN? I want to get the right – on CBS. I want to make sure I got the right credit. So here is the head of the NCAA Selection Committee discussing it with the panel on CBS.
Joining us now is Bernard Muir, the chair of the NCAA Men's Division I Basketball Committee and the director of athletics at Stanford University. First of all, congratulations to you. I asked you off camera, I'll ask you on. Was it everything you thought it would be?
It was a tremendous week. All my colleagues, the 10 members of us getting together, talking basketball, watching basketball, and then coming out with this bracket. Just a tremendous week, and we're glad we're ready to kick it off.
Any hesitation at all about putting 3 teams out of the 4 in the same, you know, from the same conference, the ACC?
You know, they earn their right to be there, and certainly with Duke and Zion back, phenomenal run here in the ACC tournament, and we thought both Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina were deserving on that one line.
Looking at the Big Ten Conference Championship game today, how close perhaps was Michigan State, and how did that game play into what ultimately happened with the committee selections?
Well, great question. Michigan State, they leapfrogged Kentucky by winning this game. They had so many great quad one wins. But at the same token, we thought Michigan State and Michigan would be on that 2 line once the weekend unfolded.
Gotcha. Tell me about the Belmont conversation.
So Belmont, interesting. You know, they made the most of the opportunities that they had. They had 2 wins in quad one, and we just thought that they were a phenomenal basketball team, very high on the offensive front, great offensive efficiency, and we thought if deserving, they belong in the field.
And so that leads to my question about the net. Do you have a sense of how much the net factored into what we're seeing here?
Well, I would say this. The net allowed for more quality one wins, especially when we looked at the number of conferences that fall in that quad one segment. And certainly Belmont, among others, certainly racked up some quad one wins, and that's what we found pretty impressive.
Bernard, we're looking at the results of the deliberations. What was the tough part? What were the major hurdles that your guys faced?
You mentioned it earlier. I think it was just those last teams in, very few spots left, and there were many teams that just, it's such a fine line, that looked so much like themselves, like others. And in the end, we ended up putting in a great field, and St. John's was the last team in.
No. Go ahead, Claire. No. Well, one of the things that I know that we talked about before when you visited us earlier, whether injuries and coaching situations affect the status of teams. Did they this time around?
We certainly discussed them, but we wanted to see how teams played out. So I can think of like LSU and Smart coming back. They were impressive. Certainly Zion at Duke, and Ward at Michigan State. We were just trying to see, okay, exactly how are these teams going to play when these student athletes come back? And obviously they played really well and they played themselves into the field.
And as far as the power conference teams that were left out, Alabama, for example, had a win over Kentucky. Indiana had all kinds of injury issues. North Carolina State had a very high net rating, I think, in the low 30s, although a bad non-conference strength of schedule. It seems to me in the past, the determining factor was a number of quality wins, but that maybe this year the multitude of losses more outweighed that. Is that fair to say?
That's totally fair to say. They had so many opportunities. What did they do with those opportunities? And in some cases, like in NC State, they had great opportunities in quad one, but just did not win them. And so that was a concern for us.
What do you think? And Clark has been pushing, and actually so has Seth, about the mid-majors and their prominence in the tournament. Do you feel that they've made strides?
Well, this year we had 11 conferences, a third of the overall 32 conferences that we have in Division I that had multiple teams in the bracket.
Right,
and they were deserving, and we thought they belonged there. This was a high year for us. I think last 3 years it was nine conferences that had multiple teams. So we were fortunate. We had opportunities, especially that fell our way, that we could get more teams, deserving teams into the field.
Going back to Michigan and Michigan State, talking about how they were solidly on the two line, is that a function of balancing the field in some regards in terms of looking at those top four lines and seeing where you can get really good, solid strength across those four?
Absolutely. Lines? And coming into the week, we thought there was probably six or seven deserving teams, of which Michigan and Michigan State were considered for that one line. Mm-hmm. In the end, we thought, boy, there's only four spots left, only four spots available. And we thought the teams that we put there were most deserving.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, thank you.
Thank you.
Job well done.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Bernard Muir, ahead of the NCAA Selection Committee. Let's go to Lawrence, Kansas now and hear from Jayhawks head coach Bill Self.
So how do you think Carolina fans are going to feel about that, you know, potentially? So the big thing is you can't get ahead of yourself. And been doing this a long time. It's a two-game tournament. That's it. It's a two-game tournament, and we have to be really, really our best this weekend, this Thursday and Saturday, and then go from there. But it is a hard bracket, though. I mean, obviously, when you have Northeastern, and then if you're fortunate enough to win, you play the winner of New Mexico State, who took us to the last possession in the Sprint Center, and then of course Auburn, who arguably is as hot as any team in the country right now. So with what they did, so you could play Auburn and they just beat Tennessee by 20.
Right.
You know, so those are all hard games, all hard matchups. But like I told our guys, in order to advance in the tournament, you got to beat people. Yep. You got to play good people, and no matter what bracket we'd be in, we'd look and say, oh geez, that's a hard matchup for us, because that's just the way it is. And so, but it is hard. It is hard. Disappointed for our league, a little bit. Only getting six.
Right. How surprised are you that the Big 12, as strong as it was, only got 16?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all, because there were three at-large or, you know, leagues.
Bid stealers.
Yeah, bid stealers, with St. Mary's, obviously, and Oregon, obviously. And then there was St. Louis, obviously. You know, because VCU would have been an automatic bid, and they got in anyway. So there's three leagues that stole one, but really there was four, because Murray State, would they have got in if they had lost to Belmont?
Right.
That's the way it is every year. There's always somebody that's unfortunately just on the outside looking in, and this year it happens to be two of our league teams.
25 of the 34 games that you played this year were against teams that made the tournament field this year. How did that schedule shape your team?
I think it was good in some ways. I also think it wasn't good in some ways. Going into the season, you know, if you have your full complement of guys, you think it's the perfect schedule for this team. with the way the season went and having to with so many things that we dealt with, it probably wasn't as good for us because it didn't give Q and Devon and David and obviously Ochai the opportunity to catch their breath. I mean, you stop and think about it. So what'd you say, 25 out of 35?
25 of 34.
But five of the games mm-hmm. were against TCU and Texas, so it could have been 30 out of 34
yes.
real easy. So it was by far the hardest schedule that anybody played in the country this particular year, and that's probably why, you know, we kind of stubbed our toe some and still was a four seed with a chance to even be better than that. But you know, I think it helped us, made us more battle tested. But on the flip side, I think the season is so long that it's nice to be able to catch your breath every now and then. And you know, our guys have shown some toughness because, to be honest with you, we haven't had the opportunity to catch ours.
All right, Coach. Thanks. We'll see you in Salt Lake.
We'll be there.
Yep. Okay. So. Is that
two Irish? Game tournament? Is that the way that Coach Brown, Coach Williams talked about it?
That was head coach Bill Self of the Kansas Jayhawks speaking with Kenny Tripoliums, who covers the team for the Jayhawk Television Network, talking about the tournament and where Kansas is. And he says, you know, it's a two-game tournament. You got to get out of that first weekend. It's a two-game tournament. And they'll have a challenging draw with Northeastern. And if they beat Northeastern, they probably look at facing Auburn in that second game. Auburn in the 5-12 matchup with New Mexico State. So that'll be a tough weekend for Kansas. He also mentioned being disappointed with the Big 12 only getting in six teams. I think a lot of folks thought seven would be the number. But he said, as we talk about every year, you have seed stealers, I guess is what you call it. I think that was the term they used, or at least opportunities to get in the NCAA tournament was St. Mary's upsetting Gonzaga. That got two teams from that conference in that probably wouldn't. Oregon winning the Pac-12 tournament. Oregon probably would not have been in. Murray State winning their conference tournament. They would have been borderline, but maybe not have gotten in. And St. Louis making a run to their conference championship. Probably would not have gotten in. So those conferences, those four right there, forced the committee to bring two from each of those conferences, which took spots away from other teams that might have more name value, might have a little bit of a better schedule, that sort of thing. So they also mentioned Clark Kellogg was talking to the commissioner of the NCAA selection committee earlier and was talking about, you know, Alabama, NC State, and Indiana not getting in. And the head of the selection committee said, look, they had opportunities to get in. They didn't take advantage of those opportunities, so they didn't make it. So we'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to the Selection Sunday special on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. Back after this quick timeout. Welcome back to the Selection Sunday special on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, live in the studios. Our special coverage brought to you by the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Shawnee Mission Ford, and Kansas City Asphalt. The brackets are out. People are madly filling them out. People are getting into their contests. The office pools are going to be collecting your money. Nod, nod, wink, wink, that the IRS doesn't know about, but they all know about. Let's go to our good friend Kevin Keatsman, host of Between the Lines weekdays from 2 to 6, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Kevin, how are you on this I guess it's a combo day. It's Selection Sunday and St. Patrick's Day.
It's been fun, yeah. We've had a great day, a great holiday, and we're just having a few people over to the house here. Watch the selection show. It's a great time, man. What a great day.
Well, we were just listening to Bill Self talking about the brackets, and he was a little bit disappointed that the Big 12 didn't get at least one more team is. And he cited part of the reason is they had four teams who whatever you want to call them, seed stealers, teams that were not the top in their conference but ended up winning their conference tournaments in St. Mary's, Oregon, Murray State, and St. Louis. So maybe that's perhaps what could have cost TCU from being the seventh Big 12 team to get in.
Yeah, it could have. And you know, Texas obviously was a mess at
and
the
Texas,
end, too.
Yep.
It's pretty hard to make an argument for either one of those teams to be in this tournament, if you ask me. I mean, look, if there was room and they took them, I wouldn't argue with that either. But I even look like an Oklahoma team is a 9 seed. Oklahoma's not very good. but they're in. Okay, so their resume was better than TCU or Texas, but those two teams both had a chance to do something to get in the last couple of weeks of the season. They really stumbled down the stretch, and you just can't do that.
And Texas just wilted down the stretch season, and in the Big 12 tournament, they were no-shows. They have nobody to blame but themselves.
Well, they got a bigger story coming because I'm not sure their coach is going to survive.
I don't think so either.
I think everybody's reaction is nobody does less with more than Shaka Smart. You know, he gets good players. He puts guys in the NBA. They get good talent, and they just don't win. They just don't win, and they failed again this year.
Well, Nate Buchady brings this up all the time on the Border Patrol in the morning. Shaka Smart never won the conference when he was at VCU. Yeah, he went to a Final Four, but he never won a conference. Over the long course of his season, he's never put together a team that can win over the long haul. He just hasn't done it.
No, and you know he's obviously living off was what 2011 when he went to the Final Four at VCU.
Yep.
He's living off what they did in the tournament. But you know what? That's what programs hire. That's what Texas hired. They thought, hey, we're going to get a guy. It's a given. We're Texas. It's a given. We'll be in the NCAA tournament. This guy's been a good tournament coach. Let's go get him. And they obviously missed the point that you really should look at pedigree and see if a guy. You know, you go back and look through Bill Self's career. He won everywhere he was. And that's really what you're looking for. Guys that win leagues. Guys that put it together. Guys that have championships. And as you're, rising up in your career, that's the kind of coach you should be looking for. And Shaka Smart is not that guy.
We're speaking with Kevin Keatsman, host of Between the Lines here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's start with the local schools here. K-State gets a 4 seed in the South region. They'll face the 13 UC Irvine out in San Jose, that's the backyard for UC Irvine fans. And then if they happen to advance, they would get either Wisconsin or Oregon. I think that's a pretty decent draw for the opening weekend for the Wildcats.
It is good. Oregon just did something pretty remarkable. Now, I know the Pac-12's bad. They won 4 days in a row.
Yes.
That's pretty hard to do
yeah.
to get in the tournament. And if they play K-State, first team to 50 wins because they both play the same way. They don't do much offensively. They play great defense. I've watched Oregon play the last three nights. And Dane Altman has done a great job. They lost Bol Bol, the kid from here in Kansas City,
right.
for the season. They would have been a very, very good team with him this year, a really good team with him this year. But he's pieced it together. He scrapped it together by just playing defense. I've not seen Wisconsin play as much as I've seen Oregon, but Wisconsin is obviously in the – I think the Big Ten is just awesome. I think it's a brutal, tough league, and I think Kansas State's got their hands full no matter who they play.
Yeah, well, I've seen plenty of Big Ten basketball as an Iowa fan, and it's bring your boxing gloves every night. That's
right.
Kind of the basketball they're going to play. For Kansas, they get a 4 seed in the Midwest, which sets them up for a possibility of ending up in Kansas City. They draw a 13-seeded Northeastern team that I don't think should be a problem with Kansas. If they get past that, it would be the winner of the 5-12 Auburn and New Mexico State. And Auburn is playing some pretty darn good basketball right now.
Auburn's playing great. They obviously won the SEC today, and they won it by 20. That was convincing. New Mexico State's no slouch. Kansas played them earlier this year and won by 3, if I'm not mistaken. So that team's not bad either. These 12s, those 5-12 games, you really got to watch out. Anybody can win those. It's the same thing with Wisconsin and Oregon, but Auburn is playing great basketball right now. Sometimes, Brad, you know this too, we see these teams that are playing great into this weekend, like, okay, K-State and KU each have one. Oregon just won its tournament. Auburn won its tournament. And then they turn around and just fall flat and do nothing 5 days later. It's pretty funny when that happens. And it does seem to happen quite a bit. So I don't know exactly what Auburn will have, but I know this. They've been very, very impressive the last few days. I mean, truly great. They played great basketball the last few days.
Yeah, they dominated against Tennessee today. And for Kansas, I thought the Big 12 tournament was a great opportunity for the young players on the team who have not experienced a lot of success to get to play. And they played a couple of good games, but Devon Dotson continues to be a force. Quentin Grimes is still is up and down. But David McCormick, I thought, really established that he could be a player that Bill Self can count on as an inside presence.
He did, and until last night, or he got benched last night. I think he was in Bill Self's doghouse for a lot of that game last night. I'm guessing it was his defensive work that Bill Self was not real thrilled with McCormick. But, yes, he's really come on strong. This is going to be hard for Kansas. There's been some people on ESPN and whatnot already saying that Northeastern's going to be trouble for KU, that they're pretty good. I'm not going to tell you I know anything about Northeastern. But I've heard several people say that could be a game for Kansas, and that surprises me. But every year there's a 13 or a 14 seed where people say, watch out for this team, and people are talking about Northeastern a little bit right now. In that second game, man, if it's Auburn, Kansas is going to have to play well. But if they win it, they get here. They get to Kansas City, and I don't know. There were three teams in this league that got trophies. K-State, Texas Tech, and Iowa State all got trophies this year. Kansas did not, and they're the one that gets to come to Sprint Center. That's going to raise a lot of flags.
Yeah, especially with K-State fans. We're speaking with Kevin Keatsman, host of Between the Lines 2 to 6 every weekday here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And I'll just give you a heads up, Kevin. They're expecting Bill Self to come to the podium here momentarily. So when that happens, we'll have to jump over to it. A couple more things on the Big 12. Texas Tech, I thought, well-deserved getting a 3 seed out in the West, drawing Northern Kentucky, and Baylor squeezing in as a 9 seed against Syracuse. That'll be the Seren Petro Bowl game on that one. So, but Texas Tech did well to get that 3 seed, and I thought they were the best team in the Big 12 from start to finish.
I thought they got a really good draw. And yes, they were the best team this year in the Big 12, and they got seeded accordingly, and I think they got a really good draw. I also think Kansas State got a good draw, not location. I mean, they could have easily been the team to go to Sprint Center, and that would have been really nice. But their one and their two are Virginia and Tennessee. And, for example, Kansas 1 and 2 is North Carolina and Kentucky. I think you'd much rather have Virginia and Tennessee in there. Probably a much better opportunity for one of those teams to get upset before you go play them than North Carolina or Kentucky. So, look, Kansas got a great draw. You know, they got an opportunity to go to Sprint Center, but you got to think when they get here, there could be North Carolina and Kentucky sitting here too, so it will not be.
And for Baylor getting in as a 9 seed, I think that's deserved because of all that, you know, they've lost players this season. They play with a short bench. And the thing, I've kind of come around the last couple of years on Scott Drew. Initially, you know, when he got to Baylor and started getting a decent team, I didn't really care for his attitude, but I don't know the man. I don't cover him on a daily basis. But the more I've watched his teams play and the more I've watched him, especially this season when you overcome things, I think he's a damn good coach. And I think it's deserved that his team gets in there as a 9 seed.
He finds a way to get in every year.
He does.
And they remake themselves. He does what the good coaches do. When you have to remake your team in the middle of a season to get into the tournament, then that is a great sign. That's obviously what the team we talk about most is Kansas. He completely remade that team in season and has made it into something completely different now than it was at the start. That's what the great coaches do. I don't know that I'm ready to say Drew is a great coach, but he's really, really good, and he's really good for Baylor, and they are there every single year.
Hey, Kevin, I appreciate your time. I got Bill Self I got to go to, so have fun at the party celebrating St. Patrick's Day and Selection Sunday. Appreciate it.
Okay, Brad, thanks.
All right, thank you. That is Kevin Keatsman. Let's go back to Lawrence, Kansas. Here's Bill Self.
Tournament, we start looking at these schools we've never heard
Whoever wins our first game, then you got the winner of Auburn and New Mexico State. And, you know, to me, that's a that's hard. You know, Auburn's arguably as hot as anybody, and New Mexico State took us to the last possession in the Sprint Center. So, you know, which is technically kind of a home game. So, yeah, it's hard. But our focus is trying to win two games this weekend, and we know we got a tough opponent. Whenever you, to me, and I could be wrong in how I look at this because I may look at it differently than most. You got a situation with Northeastern that did not win their league. If I'm not mistaken, they were the 2 seed in their tournament. Isn't that right, guys? And Hofstra won their league, but they still get a 13 seed when you don't win the league out of the Colonial.
All right, having a little bit of a technical difficulty there, feeding down two different things, so we'll try to get that straightened out. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to the Selection Sunday special on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We think we got the technical glitch fixed. Here's Kansas coach Bill Self.
In one regional, I mean that sounds more like a Final Four than a regional. So, but that's a lot of things have to happen for all teams for that to occur, and certainly, you know, we got it. We're just focused on a 2-game tournament, and got to put all our emphasis on that. And don't even think past that.
Had some tough round one games as a 1 and 2. Obviously, last year was 1. It's been so long since you were 4 and playing somebody higher up. Do you have to go look back and refresh your memory on those types of things, or does that even matter?
Well, we were, you know what, I don't know that it matters. Like, it wouldn't do any good to watch tape or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, I'm trying to think when we were a four.
When you have a shooting game like that, are you thinking, man,
we
were a
four and lost to Bradley.
Well, and he generally does.
We were a four and beat Illinois, Chicago. Isn't that right? And that's the only time we've been fours, if I'm not mistaken. But there may be something to that because we were a four and lost to Bradley, and we were starting three freshmen and two sophomores. And so, you know, as young as we are, there's probably some things that we can think back to maybe avoid some of the intangible things that don't have anything to do with basketball to help us with that situation.
That was going to be maybe. Possible. Look, the way it was lining up that it might
be. You mentioned potentially even seeing Kentucky and Kansas City. Do you think that's really fair for a 1 seed to potentially have to come to Kansas City and maybe play you?
I'm not going to get into that, but I would say that
and of course we're not watching the show. I'm sure there are plenty of teams.
To me, if you win two games in the tournament,
I don't feel like the Big
12 you know you're going to play.
Well. You look at the teams,
a really good team,
well
and you know, it's probably going to be a neutral deal in a situation like that. But this won't be a neutral deal if everybody advances. And you throw Iowa State in if they advance. I mean, they'll have more fans there than anybody.
You're not playing well. So
it's
start getting upsets in conference tournaments, and some the team.
I still think what wins more than anything is
another team is also
talent and talented players playing together at the right time, but. But certainly, we had an opportunity to play Carolina the first weekend in Kansas City, and that was a pretty significant advantage for us at that particular time. But that's getting way ahead of what we should be thinking about.
Coach, this is your 67th NCAA tournament, 21st year. You got
67th tournament or 67th game? Oh, good, because I was going to say, sure.
Can you put it in perspective to your kids? You got all these kids that have been watching this on TV, and they're not going to be on the end of the bench watching the older guys play. Yeah. They're going to be out there.
Yeah, it's different. You would think you go to a Final Four last year and you think that you would at least return some experience. Like for Villanova, they were talking about Pascal and Booth. I mean, those are guys that have won – two national championships and been through the rigors, and everybody's talking about how much they lost, which they lost a ton. And here we are, not by all through graduation and guys leaving early. Two guys that have even participated are Marcus and Mitch. And so this is new for everybody. But the biggest thing is to have fun, enjoy it, and it's a reward of guys doing a good job on every team throughout the course of the season, and we need to approach it that way and try to play as free as we possibly can.
Has anybody on the team been to Utah, and when were you last there?
I can't speak to – I didn't get a chance to ask every individual if they've ever passed through there, but I would venture to guess the vast majority have not, and I've been to I think it's probably been 4 weeks since I've been to Utah, so I went recruiting up there not too long ago, so I'm a vet when it comes to the city and cultures and all those things.
But is there any advantage to a younger team with no experience in the tournament being a lower seed and not having that top seed pressure that comes with that?
I think with the one seed, whether you want to admit it or not, that there comes with pressure if you haven't ever dealt with it before, because everybody else believes they're playing with house money, and you believe you have to do something. So it could help us. I'll certainly look at it from that perspective. But when you're a lower seed, then obviously the competition is also greater too. At least in the first round game. So I we'll look at it that way.
Well,
but
ACC
I'm excited for our guys to see how they react.
Coach Self, inside, I would rather have the pressure of being a high seed, because it means that we're going to get a little bit easier route, perhaps.
Right. Well, and it also means that you're better.
Yeah.
You're a number one seed or a two seed for a reason.
Okay, there's Kansas basketball coach Bill Self talking about the NCAA tournaments. A little bit of a joke about his familiarity with Salt Lake City. Said he was just in Utah 4 weeks ago. I don't know what that was in reference to, but
you just never know.
No, but Kansas gets to play Thursday in Salt Lake City, and they'll take on the 13-seed squad from Northeastern. We were talking about Northeastern a little bit earlier. Northeastern 23-10 this season, finished second in the Colonial, and then obviously won the conference tournament. The Huskies, let's see, they had a win against Alabama early in the season in the non-conference, and they have losses to some big schools in Virginia Tech, Davidson, and Syracuse. So I think this sets up well for Kansas. I really do. I just, boy, that Auburn squad hanging there, if you make it to the second game.
That's scary.
That Auburn squad sitting there as a 5 seed if they make it past New Mexico State, the 12.
I mean, if they get Auburn, hot like they did today.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Yeah.
That could be bad.
And I do not believe they play with as many freshmen as Kansas. They're an experienced squad. Bruce Pearl's a good coach, too. I know people give him a hard time because he's kind of a – he can come off as a me-first guy, a showboat guy, that
Andy
sort
got,
of thing.
And I think Andy got in some trouble at Tennessee with recruiting violations.
He
so.
Did. What coach hasn't right now?
True.
I say that facetiously, but I think Bruce Pearl's a good coach. Plus, as a guy who's a fan of Iowa, he comes from the Tom Davis, Dr. Davis School of Basketball. So, yeah, that would be the one hanging out there for Kansas fans. If you want to make yourself a little bit nervous about not making it out of the first weekend, the opening weekend, then Auburn would be there in the second game. For K-State fans, I like the K-State draw, too. I agree with Seren and Kevin, who have both been on the show today. I like the draw for K-State being in the South as a 4 seed, getting UC Irvine first out in San Jose. Then in the second game, second round, you'd be looking at a Wisconsin-Oregon option. Oregon got hot in the Pac-12 tournament. It's what teams do sometimes. They get hot. They win 4 games in 4 days. Oregon's an okay team. They're not great. They're not a team certainly that Kansas should be afraid of. Wisconsin, they're going to play Wisconsin basketball. Just because they don't have Coach Bo anymore doesn't mean they forgot how to play physical basketball. It's been the hallmark of their program for 2 decades. So I like that for Kansas State, pardon me. And then the possible seeds, if you want to go deep, 1 seed Virginia, 2 seed Tennessee. For Kansas in their Midwest region, North Carolina's a 1. Kentucky's a 2, and Kansas would have a possible matchup with North Carolina in the Elite 8 if the Jayhawks go that far. Texas Tech gets a 3 seed out in the West against a 14-seed squad from Northern Kentucky. Texas Tech, I thought the best team in the Big 12 from start to finish, stumbled in the Big 12 tournament. It happens. I was just going to look up the Northern Kentucky, kind of their short resume here. Won the Horizon League. Went 26-8 and have wins. I don't know if you call them signature wins, but wins of import for them. Beat UMBC, the team that knocked Virginia out last year, the first 16 seed ever to win over a 1 seed in a tournament game. Also beat Northern Illinois a couple of times. Northern Illinois has a good history of basketball. So they'll give Texas Tech a little bit. So Texas Tech, if they advance in the West, they would be looking at a second-round matchup of either Buffalo, Arizona State, or St. John's. Because that's because Buffalo at the 6 seed gets the winner of a play-in game between Arizona State and St. John's. And the winner of that game would go in as an 11 seed. For Texas Tech, there's nothing about those 3 teams that scare me. So I think it lines up nicely for Texas Tech to make a run to the Sweet 16 at least.
Agree completely.
And their region top seeds, 1 is Gonzaga. Gonzaga's got, as Seren said, they have good scores. I like them as a team. I've watched a lot of them, but that doesn't look like a 1 seed that's unbeatable, that's unstoppable.
I mean, really, from this whole year of college basketball, what team has really, I mean, yes, Duke with Zion, but even
right.
Sometimes they can't hit threes, but I mean, it just depends. Like, I don't think any team has really set themselves apart.
Right.
At the moment, so.
I would be, for Texas Tech, getting to, let's see, it would be second or third round matchup with Michigan as a 2 seed. Michigan scares me. I have to watch him because Jed Marshall loves Michigan so much. So I get – it's always on. When I worked weekends, when he was the weekend guy, he would always have him on.
I mean,
so.
Beilein's a great offensive coach, but that really hasn't been their motto this year. It's really been on the defensive end where they've got it done on the you know, on that side of the court. But I'm just not sold on their scoring right now. I just don't know if they're going to be able to score enough if a team, you know, might go off for, you know, 80, 85 points. I don't know if they can keep up with that.
And if Michigan and Texas Tech were to match up, that would be in the Sweet 16, opening the second weekend.
I feel like that'd be a very low-scoring game for some reason. It's somewhere in the upper 60s, mid-60s.
Yeah. Michigan in the Big Ten, that's the way they play ball. Texas Tech is a really good defensive team. Two other teams out of the Big 12 that are in. Baylor is a 9 seed in the West, taking on the 8 seed from Syracuse, with the winner going on to face the winner of the 1 seed Gonzaga, and then the play-in game between Farley Dickinson and Prairie View A&M. Whoever would win that game would go in as the 16 seed to face Gonzaga. And then Oklahoma is a 9 seed in the South, would face the 8 seed Ole Miss. On that note, we will take a quick timeout. You're listening to the Selection Sunday Special on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and it's brought to you by our friends at the Sports Medicine and Performance Center at the University of Kansas Health System, Shawnee Mission Ford, and Kansas City Asphalt. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bowling and Chad Boger are running the show, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.